Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And this is really important because the Philippian book, we tend to, I call it baseball religion. You know, you got home base, of course. Then you got first base, second base, third base. And what people do is they do religious things saying, well, I just want to make sure I got everything covered, and on and on. And Paul's telling you that he's of the circumcision, but he worships God not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There's nothing in the flesh that is pleasing to God. There's nothing you're going to manifest in the flesh that is pleasing to God. There is nothing that you're going to do that God's going to shine down upon you and say, wow, aren't you special? It's not going to happen. Say, well, I'm a preacher. Doesn't matter. Say, well, I'm a Christian worker. Doesn't matter. God's not shining down on you because of the works of your flesh. That is not what, you know, people act like, well, now since I'm saved, I'm going to really be Joe Christian. God doesn't care. God's not interested in your flesh. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Hold on to here and go to Romans chapter 8. I wasn't going to do this, but I thought, well, might as well commit the whole way, huh? Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 8. Romans 8. Verse 8. Here we go. The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh, everybody, cannot please God. Anything you do in your flesh is not pleasing to God. What God is impressed with when you are totally dependent upon the finished work of Calvary, and all you keep pointing to is the finished work of Calvary, and all you keep pointing to is the cross, and to the cross, and to the cross. That's what God's interested in, is the cross of His dear Son. He is not interested in what you've done in the flesh. Say, well, I've been baptized 3 times. You know what God thinks? Whoopee. Whoopee. Yeah, but I walked the aisle for Jesus. God doesn't care. Say, well, I said the sinner's prayer. Big deal. Didn't change what Christ did. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Paul's trying to tell you that what you do in the flesh, you're never going to please God. And he starts out verse 3, for we are of the circumcision, which is an act done by the flesh. The circumcision, he can say, yeah, I've been circumcised the 8th day. You know what that is to God? Nothing. Nothing. Paul was circumcised. You say, well, they got a right to brag. No, they don't. That idea of, for we are the circumcision is bared out. Again, go back to Romans chapter 2 and look in Romans chapter 2. And you might want to make some notes here going back and forth between the Roman and the Philippian. Well, I'm going to start in verse 24, but the verses I wander down a little bit. 2:24. Romans 2:24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, talking about Israel, as it is written, For the circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. See, if you want your circumcision to count, keep the law, he's trying to tell to those Jews. All of it. And he said in verse 13, in verse 13, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers. It isn't about what you've done in the flesh. But he come on down, he says, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made what? That's why he said there's none good, no, not one. How many are good?
None.
Are the Jews good that were circumcised and kept the... No. There's none good, no, not one. There's not a single person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none. So you can't count. People religiously count on things they're doing. Paul's trying to say, well, God's not impressed. For they that are in the flesh cannot... Everybody. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're never going to please God. Say, well, I want to do it this way. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the fact of what is. Therefore, if there are uncircumcision, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter of the circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew that which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. See, it wasn't about the letter. It was about the heart of the whole matter. And they thought, well, by doing circumcision, that they thought they could count up as being added. You know, people are like that with baptism. Like, God shined down upon me, and I'm better off because I've been baptized after I'm saved. I mean, a lot of people go, well, are you going to get baptized? Or, well, the moment you got saved, you were baptized into the body, which made you partakers of his death, burial, and resurrection, and you're already ascended up on high. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. And so when he says in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, he's saying, look, I've got the marks in the flesh. I've done all that. Which worship God in the Spirit. And I want you to go to Galatians. And go to Galatians chapter 3. A rhetorical question Paul asked the Galatians. Verse 1, Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you shall not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you. Now watch. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Which one is it, guys? That's the answer, the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, verse 3? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. Folks, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were complete. You couldn't get any better. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Aren't you glad you got your Bible tonight? Got your Bible pen and can mark it? Guys, listen, let me tell you what. We have the greatest thing going in since sliced bread, but you know, nothing you do in the flesh is pleasing to God. So, well, I show up at church. God's not impressed. I bet you don't show up all the time. Amen? I mean, that impressed God. Never miss. You know how many in 25 years has had a never miss Sunday? Nobody. That'd be impressive. Terry Pete used to say, you want to impress me? Sprout wings and fly. I thought that was kind of funny when I used to say it. He's not as funny now as he was. He's way too intense and serious now. You want to impress me, sprout wings and fly. I thought that was funny. I never laughed a lot because I didn't want to encourage him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. You don't lack anything. You don't need any perfection by the flesh. You don't need any action to sum you up and make you be something that you're not. You know what you are? You're a sinner saved by the grace of God. You ain't got anything on anybody else. You ain't got it all figured out. You think you got it figured out? You know, it's amazing. One of the greatest things that bugs me to no end is judgmental people who think they're better than someone else. Self-righteous attitudes. People that have the attitude like, hey, I got it going on, I'd never do that. Well, you better watch saying never, because I found out that old little never will bite you in the bottom and grab a hold of you and shake you until you're torn to shreds. Well, I'm better than them. Well, you better get over it, because you'll find out you're not any better than anybody. It's amazing to me. Hey, listen, what completed me was being in Him. I mean, you know what? I'm always amazed. People think I'm a jerk. You know what? That's true. You know what? Here's another fact. You are too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Especially Tony. No, I mean, come on. You know what? Everybody wakes up on the wrong side of the bed once in a while. I mean, you probably not like Brenda and I. We walk down the hall quoting scriptures to each other. Oh, man. I mean, you know, we passed the thing and I said, how art thou, my woman of love? And she says, oh, Lord, Lord. Oh, I mean, it's just so biblical around our house. I bet you've never even kicked a dog before. I mean, Tony tries to kick mine every time he sees it. He doesn't like that dog.
It's just a little rag, you know.
Hey, easy, easy. You know what? I've lost control of this class. Yes, you did. Thank God. You're complete in Him. You're not complete in the things you do in the flesh. You're not complete in, hey, I now since I'm saved, I'm going to be Joe Christian. Bet you're not. Bet you think you got it going on, and the next thing you know, you'll be going, what's up? You know, the best thing is, you know what comes before fall? Be careful. You think you got it going on? Be careful. Pride will bring you down, baby. You think you got it going on? You think you got your whole life acting right? I'll tell you about a whole life acting right. I tried to serve the Lord with everything I had in me. The day my son died, I'm the one that ended up in jail. That's right. And everything they wrote in me about the paper was a lie. Every single drop of it. One single truth about it. And you know what I couldn't do? Nothing. Just take it. Now the people that knew me knew better. But you know there are people reading that paper and they think, well, look at that preacher getting his daughter drunk and letting her drive. Well, she wasn't drunk. But it didn't mind printing it at the second day when they actually had the blood test and the breath test. That was 0.0.0. Oh, more of the same. Preacher gets daughter drunk, lets her drive, causes the son to die. Fatal accident. Yeah, well, that would never happen to me. Trust me, you'll be surprised what can happen to you. Guys, listen to me. You know what? You're kind of along for the ride. Better wake up to true Christianity. True Christianity isn't you're going to figure out in the flesh and be the perfect person. You're not going to be the perfect mom or dad. You're not going to be the perfect preacher. You're not going to be the perfect Christian worker. You're not going to be the perfect friend. You're not going to be the perfect anything. And you know what's weird is the wave of friendship. Have you ever noticed this? Here's my life right here. And people come in my life and out of my life, come in my life and out of my life. I have no control over all that. Isn't that fascinating? People that I knew 30 years ago now come back in my life. I hadn't seen them for 30 years. You know what? I get a chance to witness to them. There's some watching the broadcast right now. What are you doing? Are you putting out the broadcast so people can hear it? You know, you could run out your email list and say, you ought to watch this one Wednesday. You write all those forwards about this and that. I get so many forwards. Don't send me a forward. If you're tempted to send a forward, do this. Chop thy finger off. Do not send me a forward. I don't read them. Now, Deborah, you're going to have to restrain. Do not send a forward. I do not read forwards. If you want to write me a personal note, I will read the personal note. But my time, my life is more valuable than reading a joke. I've got something else. I'm on task to do something different. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just on task to do something different. Well, come on, guys. You know, when you start to talk about the whole thing of Christianity, it's not about what you do in the flesh. And when you really get spiritual, when you really have gathered the goods that you are walking as a spiritual man, you know what you'll know about yourself? You're not any good. You'll be able to stand up and say, you know what? I'm as sorry as the day is long. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 3. See, I think the greatest sin in the Bible is self-righteousness. And I think the hardest thing to do is in Romans chapter 14. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Y'all there in Philippians 3? Look down, if you will, in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of a Hebrew, Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. I'm not clinging to the fact that I've been circumcised. I'm not clinging to the fact that I was born to the seed of Benjamin. I'm not claiming that I'm anything, a Pharisee. All those things I count as dung. Everything that I could gather up. You know what the Bible says your righteousness are? The Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that all your righteousness, if you could bring every ounce of it, every ounce of your mustering self-righteousness and bring it to the front, it would be nothing more than filthy rags. That's amazing, isn't it? You say, well, after I got saved, I got some. No. If you've got righteousness at all that counts, it's that He imputed to you your righteousness. It isn't about you. It's about Christ's righteousness being laid to your account. You see, my righteousness isn't even worth bragging about. My focus and my life agenda isn't even worth focusing on. You know what? Oh, this is what I've learned. There's always better preachers. There's better singers, better doers, better than every one of us in here. There's someone better that can do it better. Say, well, brother, why are you preaching? Why are you standing behind the pulpit? Somebody might get the cross and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's why. Say, well, aren't there better people? Amen, there's better people. But you know what Brother Moore used to say, and I love this? He says, you might find someone who can preach the gospel better than me, but you won't find a better gospel than me. You see, it isn't about how I preach. It isn't the dynamics that I use. It isn't my voice inflections that make it great. The Word of God that's great. And he goes on to say in verse 7 again, he said, but what things were gained to me? And they must have had some gain to them. He must have got patted on the back. Oh, there's Paul. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Oh, there's Paul, the Hebrew of Hebrews. Oh, pat him on the back. He's such a warrior. Way to go, Paul! You know, way to go! But he said, what things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Romans chapter 9 verse 30 through Romans chapter 10 verse 3 I would put in right there. If I don't have that note in my Bible, I would definitely write that in. Romans chapter 9 verse 30 Romans 10, verse 3. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. See, that's the problem, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, not your faith. The faith of Christ is not even your faith. It's the faith of Christ. You know what? It was Christ that believed God the Father would raise Him from the dead and stepped up willing to die on a sinner's cross, be nailed to a cross, step off into hell, and 3 days trust the Father to resurrect Him out of that. That's the faith of Christ. People say, well, it's about our faith. Well, there you go, trusting your flesh again. There you go, thinking you got something. You know what? It isn't about you. Christianity isn't about you. It's never been about you. Are you so narcissistic that you've got to believe that the whole world... You know, we create this in our children. We ruin our children. We've ruined Hannah and Seth. We've ruined Hannah and Megan and Josh. We've ruined them. You ruined your kids. You get around the birthday and you tell them how great they are. And when they ride their bike and you let go and they start pedaling along and they're pedaling along, you know, you go, you got it! Look at you! You're a champion! You know what they really are? Sinners. And you know what's going to happen? She's going to fall. Or he's going to fall. You know why? Everybody falls. Tebow, the great quarterback, drawing back, bam, got hit. Concussion for 2 weeks. So it won't happen to me. I bet you don't know that. We start with our children and we create this narcissism around their egos. We build their egos up because we want, it's part of us. Look at it, it's my flesh. Look at my extension of my, oh, they're so great. My kids are great. You know what your kids are? They're liars. They're cheaters. Amen? Amen, Megan? You ever lie and cheat? How about a hand of you? Now, you don't have to look around. Are you a liar? And have you ever lied?
She's sitting right by her dad. Don't put
her ass. Hey, we're all liars. Josh, you ever tell a lie? Absolutely. You know why you do that? Because you ain't no good. You have the right opportunity to tell the truth. You can't tell the truth. You ever notice that? You get yourself in a position, and you know that's how the police get you. And fascinating to watch a police interview. Have you ever been under a police well, you're missing out. I ain't been under lately, but you know, I've been under a few. Yeah, a deposition. You know what it is? It's all about tricking you up. You know why? Because your conscience is going to lie. You can't tell the truth. You know what the lawyer tells you to do? Tell you, I can't recall. I don't remember. I can't recall. Well, what is that? Why don't you just fess up to it? You ever notice all the people go in and they're acting like they're innocent? They're not innocent. They're guilty, most of them. They're guilty and they know they're guilty, but they're thinking, maybe I can lie my way out of it. And it started when they were babies. Instead of the mother telling them the truth and trying to teach them the Word of God, they build them up as if they're saints. You know what that does? That makes your children fall when they get older. Ask me, I know something about this. They're liars. You couldn't be honest with yourself if you really wanted to. Yeah, I know that. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. That's how I know it. He says, who can know it? I can't even know my own heart. I tell you how wicked your heart is. Your heart will try to convince you you're saved when you're lost. I know mine did for years. I joined the church at 13 thinking I was a Christian. Got saved when I was 24. What an eye-opener, huh? Terry went to class all his life. But it was an eye-opener. Hey, you're lost. Hey, this is weird. I'm lost. Didn't want to say anything. You know why? Pride stops you. Such an arrogant thing. So well protected and so well developed by our parents. You know, Paul had a lot to brag about. You know what he did? He counted it all but dung. He counted it in a way that nothing he did was impressive to the Lord. I love that about Paul, don't you? Say, well, Paul is our example. Amen, he is. He's our pattern. Well, why isn't that Paul ever accomplished being a great Christian? Why didn't he ever do that? Look in Romans chapter 7. I thought about Philippians chapter 3 in the sense of self-righteousness. That's what kind of brought it onto my mind tonight. How easily we fall into this self-righteous attitude. That we got our ducks in a row. You know what? Your ducks aren't probably even close to being in a row. But you can be saved. You can have eternal life. You can have peace. And you know what? You can have fellowship. You know this line coming in and out? All those people are lost. But you know who my constant friends have been? Who do you think have been my constant friends? Ones that have a testimony. You know why? They're overlooked my faults. You know, Larry probably hates my guts. Probably says, Barry's an egotistical jerk. He's got it all. But you know, he stuck around for 23 years. You know why? He knows he's not any better. He's not any better than me. How can you break fellowship? When really you don't have family. Anybody here has got a good tie with their family? I mean, really good tie? Start witnessing to them. They'll throw you out. I got saved and I went to my family with the Word of God and sat down there and wanted to show them that I was saved. My dad literally threw me out so many times it became a revolving door. He'll tell you. Well, if I go over to your family, I'd probably get thrown out too. Say, well, why are they mad at you? Well, they don't understand. But why are they mad at you? They think you're a jerk. I am a jerk. But I'm over here trying to show them how to get saved. The rest of them just want to invite them to church so the church will grow. I don't care whether this church will grow. That isn't the intent of the church. It's to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Say, well, if I had that church, I'd make it grow. Oh, yeah. I'll never get Brother Moore. I remember the day I got called to preach. I was in Pensacola, Florida. I was a Kmart manager, and we had a Bible conference. I had preached. No, I didn't preach at that Bible conference, did I? I did preach at that Bible conference. And right after I preached, I said, Lord, I want to do this full time, but you need to show me a sign. I mean, I am part Jew. I understand. I'm willing to admit that now, brother. I wouldn't have been, but I sought a sign. Doggone it, if a man didn't come up to me and hand me $1,000 cash. And so I called up, thanks, said I want to take a week's vacation. And they had a preacher's conference in Mobile. Jerry Lockhart was teaching it. Well, all the preachers were preaching there. And I knew I'd been called to preach. And you know what I did when I knew I was called to preach? I put in my 2 weeks' notice. And they just promoted me to manager of a small store in Louisiana. And I said, I'll work through Christmas if you need me to. Because they were right, just opening the store. They said, no, nobody's come yet. You go ahead and you can just quit now. Quit today. Well, I had no income. So I quit. What would you do? Would you have quit? All of a sudden, your family has no income. Or asked, did I know what I was doing? And I had no idea what I was doing. But I know God wants me to preach. See, the moment I got called to preach, I didn't go and ask my wife if it's okay. I didn't ask Brother Moore, do you think God's called me to preach? I knew exactly what God had called me to do. And from that moment on, all I've tried to do is preach the gospel that people might get saved. And along the course of time, it's interesting to me, fascinating to me. How many people do you think we'd have if all the people we witnessed and talked to and that have come? There'd be thousands here. I've talked to that many people, guys. And you're it. Yikes. You're it. You're all that's stuck. People get mad at me and quit all the time. I don't blame them. Do you? You know what? If you're saved, you love this congregation as much as I love it. You don't count on your flesh. You don't count on what you can manipulate or do. Trust in the Lord. And you just keep going. I had a guy one time, we were having a meeting. Larry was there. It was about 6 months after we got started. The guy came in one night of the meeting, says, I'm quitting the church. and I'm taking my money and we'll watch the thing fall. Remember that? Oh, we're here 23 years later. If this ministry is about Barry Hampton, or if Paul's ministry was about Paul, you're in trouble. Ministry has nothing to do with you or me. You all understand? It's to do with Christ. It's to do with Him. That's the focus of the ministry. Say, well, what's the answer? Well, you ought to pray about it. Shouldn't have to wait 8 months for a prayer. Amen? He ain't going to send a little angel down. Gabriel's not going to whisper in your ear. About knowing the will of the Lord and doing it. And Paul knew that he had a problem with this. In Romans chapter 7, look if you will in verse 14. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual. The problem is, I'm carnal, sold under sin. That's the problem. That is true. If you could keep the law, you would be righteous. You know how many have kept the law? Zero. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You ever do that? You go, I mean, you know, I've watched people in network marketing sabotage their success. You understand? I have watched them blow up their own success in life because of their head. They almost can't handle success. They almost fail at success because they don't want to succeed. I've watched it 100 times. I've seen it once. I bet you've seen it in salesmen. They'll actually shoot themselves in the foot instead of getting the sale. Why'd they do that? Well, I'm no good at it. Well, if you keep saying those things, of course you're not going to be very good at it. How's the product? Oh, it's okay. Well, you know, I want to buy from someone like that. You have to control your tongue. You know how hard that is? It's hard. It takes years of training. You got to say the right things. You know what? I ain't learned it yet. He did say that about the tongue. I like the people who think they got their tongues in control. If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is 25 years after Paul got saved. He said, I know that in me, everybody that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How many good things dwell in you? Zero. Just practice that. Say none. You don't have to prove it to me. I know you. You always try to prove their sin to me. Hey, I knew you were bad before you ever admitted it. Amen? You think you got away with it, but God knows you. Can you imagine Dale going up to God and say, but God, I want you to know some of these things I didn't do. God would say, Dale? You know, amen? Barry tried to get away with it. Barry, come on. You know? You're not getting away with it. Children, listen to me. You're liars. Why don't you say I'm a liar? Say it. You kids in here, say I'm a liar. Say I'm a liar. You know why? We're told them that they're not liars, so they shouldn't tell lies. They lie all the time. And you know what's hard? Is they can't admit what they are. You know why? The flesh is deceitful. It starts to believe our own PR releases. Man, look at Barry. He's like a great preacher. Compared to who? You know, come on, guys. Say, I'm a liar. Try this one. I cheat. You guys that fill out tax forms, I know you do that.
No, it's called being a used car scratch.
All right. I'm an idolater. Say it. You don't want to say it. You know why we don't want to say it? Well, that's a really bad one. How about if I said, okay, we're going to say, I'm an adulterer. That's hard, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine going in front of Fraser Memorial Church? Derry, come on up here and you tell the truth about you to that congregation. They would. No place for an unrighteous. Oh, don't touch anything on your way out. Amen. It's true, isn't it? You know why? Because they're counting on the arm of their flesh. They're counting on what they did. You know what they remind me of? I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. And I hope I can find it right off, because then I'll be embarrassed. Because you ought to memorize where your favorite verses are. Right? That's true, isn't it? Isaiah 65. I think it's verse 5. This is the attitude of most people. This is what it says. Verse 5, Isaiah 65, verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I'm holier than thou. You see that? These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day long. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will compensate and even recompense unto their bosoms your iniquity and the iniquity of your father together, saith the Lord, which burneth incense upon the mount and blasphemy upon the hills. Therefore I'll measure their former work into their bosom, on and on. And he's going to take vengeance on them. Come not near unto me, for I'm holier than thou. Really? Why don't you knock it off? Amen? Why don't you just level the plane? You know what? You ain't any better. Well, I pray every meal. Bet you missed one. I bet sometimes when you were praying, you were daydreaming. I've done that. I'll be in an intense prayer thinking, man, I'm really serving the Lord. Amen. I do that all the time. I'm going to read my Bible. Amen. Oh, hey, let's watch the football game. Woo! Woo! Roll Tide! Roll Eagle! Woo! Woo! All right, let's read the Bible. Let's go to church. Seth, I put him to sleep every day. You know what? If we had a Wii machine on, he would not be asleep. Amen?
You'll wake him up when you finish.
Oh, right when I'm done, he'll wake up. He'll be pleasantly feeling good and will be good for the last 3 hours that he's up. You know what, guys? Paul counted it all but dung. That is, you know what you can do? The best thing you can do is everything you thought you've done in your religious life, just throw it in the fire and count it but dung. Say, so what have I done? Here's a good thing. I've done nothing. Well, you must be something. No, I haven't done anything. Most of it, I've failed at. That's what I've done. Don't come unto me, for I'm holier than thou. That's a great verse, isn't it? I'd underline that in your Bible, amen. I'd put it back to Philippians chapter 3. She's still there. Go back to Romans 7. I'm finishing verse 18. Jeff, we appreciate you texting. I got him. Verse 18 again. For I know that in me, everybody, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How much flesh dwell in your, good things dwell in your flesh? For the will is present with me. How many here want to do the will of God? Everybody in here. Now watch this next line. But how to perform that which is good, that is the will of God, I find a little bit. I find some of the time. I can't, come on guys. You haven't mustered it up. It's such a humbling, I mean, I can't tell you what Christianity is. It's about humility. It's about being a failure and trusting a Savior that is not a failure, that hasn't ever failed in His life, that accomplished it all for you, and His graciousness to impute that to you. Don't you get it? It's like, I can't do anything right. I try to treat people good, I treat them like idiots. I want to treat them like idiots? Those are the ones I treat good. I can't get it right. Now Deborah's thinking, well, which one am I? You know, I don't... Brenda tells me not to throw out names on the internet and stuff. Honestly, I've done it more tonight. And the other day I said I was going to quit that. And I know that I feel comfortable with y'all. But I told her I want to do that. And look at me just throwing them out. And I'm thinking there, I've hit Dale... Larry a couple times. Terry just once for his bad joke.
Poor Larry.
Poor Larry. Oh, I feel so bad for Larry. When he wakes up, he'll feel good when he goes to sleep in 3 hours. How to perform that which is good, I don't even find. People act like they find it. I got it! Yeah? Show it to me. What do you got? I don't know, but I got it. Well, you might be careful. It may be the H1N1. What have you got? I got it. No, you haven't got anything. Look, you don't even have arms. You ain't got it. And he says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, everybody, that I do. You got it? That's the real state of your conditioning. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? See, Paul knew that you had to count it all but dung. You got to throw it on the pile, bit the lighter fluid out and strike a match and say, I'm a liar. Say it. Hannah, say it. Get some confidence. That's what you are. You're a cheater. You're an adulterer. You know what? But you're acceptable in Christ. And that's all that makes any difference. That's grace. Amen? That's grace. People get in front of them, people try to testify. You know what? If you haven't given your testimony in front of this church, you ought to give it. So, well, I'm too shy. If you're too shy to confess to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you probably ain't got it. Because it was never about you anyway. You know, when people stand up and testify, you know what? Can you imagine me standing there in front of your funeral? And there's a coffin there with your dead body in there. And I got a chance to tell your loved ones. But I never heard your testimony. There you are. You're dead. May or may not have had it. I've preached funerals that people didn't have them. And I've preached funerals that I did know they had them. You know what I've done? I've recorded my testimony. So my funeral, I'll tell my own story. I want people to know that when I die and I take my last breath, there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind, Barry was a jerk. But I do believe that man was saved. How about you? You got a testimony? I mean, where you can stand up and be so confident that you're never going to change it. You know, people change them. It's okay until you get saved, but when you get saved, just stop. Amen? It's okay to change them up until you get saved. Then you got to quit. Amen? And you know what? If you really ever get saved, you'll want to tell somebody. You want to tell them, I'm saved. Renee said, someone on Facebook, like, I'm glad I'm a Christian. Or that I'm, I forgot what she said. I wrote back, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Nor of the prisoner. I'm not ashamed. I am so honored to testify of His grace. And if you don't have a testimony and you're going through your mind and you're not sure, you know what I would do? I'd count it all but dung right now, tonight. I would count it all but dung. I'm not sure. I've gone back in my calendar, and I've gone back in my memory, and there's that calendar. And I think it's that day, but I'm not sure what I believe. Maybe this day, and I'm not sure, and you've kind of done this. Anything you did, you know what you need to do? Count it but done. Right now, just say, I don't know what I did. I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I believe. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. But I know tonight what I believe. Tonight I believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross 2,000 years ago and died for all of my sins. I believe that alone is what saves me. I am not trusting anything else. I'm not trusting what I did or what I said or where I was or what I'd done. I'm junking all that. Right now, tonight, you can trust the Lord.
That's right.
You don't have to walk anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say any sinner's prayer, do you, Renee? All you have to do is get in the wheelbarrow. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. You know what? When I got saved, I wanted to tell every single human being I knew that I was saved and how they could have eternal life. I went to my dad. I'll never forget. I started showing him how I got saved. He took the Bible from me and said, "Oh my God, you have defiled the Word of God I had written in my Bible." Didn't he, Brenda? You know what I was trying to do? To show that man how to be saved. I love my father to no end. I've tried to show hundreds of people how to get saved. And you know what? Pride stops them. Their self-righteousness stops them. They find a personality quirk with me and they quit. I've seen, how many times have we seen that, Larry? Hundreds. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way. And they can't testify to the day or the moment that they trusted Christ. You know why? They've never done it. You can't tell of a testimony of salvation any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. You understand? It's only until you walk through the portals of salvation that you realize it's all about Him and zero about you. That's the scale. 100% God, zero you. And you know what? It doesn't take anything. You don't have to go anywhere. You know what? If you're saved, you're relaxed. But if you're not sure, you're nervous right now. You're nervous in your mind and in your spirit. And you're nervous not because of me. You're not intimidated by me. It is the Holy Spirit talking to you. And I can guarantee you that there's people either on the internet right now that's watching me that are lost, or here in this room that is lost. I know some people just got recently saved. I don't know if she'll want to testify or not. You know what? I praise God for the preaching of the cross. Amen. Amen. Minus nothing. It's all Him. 100% God. The work of Christ. Zero in your point. And you know what? After you get saved, you know what the score still is? 100% Christ. Zero you. And does it change 25 years later?
Nope.
It's 100% Christ, zero you. Why don't you get you out of the way? Why don't you right now get you out of the way? You've been the problem the whole time. You've been stopping the Holy Spirit. You've been trying to manipulate it. You've been trying to figure it out. I tried to figure it out before I got saved. You can't figure it out. You need to stop and trust the Lord. I'm done.